We now have the opportunity to hear the words of exhortation brought to us by Brother Dan Gostin.
Good morning, everyone. I hope this day finds all listeners in good health and in good spirit. It's times like these that should aid in our faith and draw us closer to God. Despite the adverse conditions that are all around us, we as Christadelphians have an awful lot to be thankful for. We as believers have the greater hope to look forward to. Because we have faith, we know about God's future plan for this earth. And despite the pandemic conditions out there in the world, our focus should be on ourselves and our journey in the faith. If we remained focused on the more positive, big picture, Our concerns should not be if we have enough toilet paper or sani wipes, masks, or even canned goods to last a year. We're holding the real goods in our hands right here this morning. The Bible here has all the answers we will ever need. The first solution to our modern day problem is for us to have faith in God. Even though the nation's leader to the south of us here seems to make some irrational decisions, we should take comfort in the fact that he is merely a pawn in our Heavenly Father's plan for this earth. Quoting from Isaiah 45:18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." It is very difficult for us in this modern day and age to relate to the way of life that the Jews had and the way that they lived 4,000 years ago. We are very fortunate to have our first world lifestyle. We are all blessed with an abundance of food, transportation, clothing, and lodging. But are we content with what we have? Human nature says no. We as carnal man always want more. We learn this from the parable of the man who tore down his storehouses to build bigger. We must be content for what we have and happy with the conditions around us. I am very thankful for this technology today, which allows us to hold this memorial service here today. Even though there is panic worldwide, I am happy to have the opportunity to give this exhortation despite the worldwide spreading virus. We might be in fear about the conditions around us. The news seems obsessed with publishing inconclusive numbers of COVID cases because that is what the public wants. In this time of extreme stress, we have to hold on to our faith and realize it's God's plan. Even with the pandemic, I am happy where I am and consider myself fortunate to not be in the shoes of the Israelites as they trudged through the wilderness. Psalm Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our lives as Christadelphians are hard. Don't get me wrong by misunderstanding the points I am trying to present to you this morning. An exhortation is meant to urge or incite the listener, to encourage and to strengthen. We this morning can follow an educating path through our daily Bible readings over the past week. Beginning in Numbers, we follow the children of Israel on their wilderness wanderings. These people we read about had a very hard go of it. And it's recorded in the Bible for us to understand and gain a lesson from it. There are many incidents written for us as the Israelites traveled to the Promised Land. A good portion of these lessons involves faith or a momentary lack thereof. I'd like to quickly go through a few examples taken from the past week of daily Bible readings in Numbers. The children of Israel were rescued from captivity in the land of Egypt. Over the next 11 months, they journeyed to the Promised Land. Last Sunday, we read of the account in chapter 11 of Numbers, starting at verse 1 and 2. Reading from Numbers 11, verses 1 and 2. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Next, the children of Israel complained again in verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? The result of this complaint we find in verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. As we move on to chapter 14, in Numbers, the Israelites have arrived at the Promised Land. Spies went in to check out the land, but returned with a bad report. Because they were scared of the big giants in the land. Verse 2 of Numbers 14. The children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Then they began to rebel against the Lord's promise of the land, and they wanted to return to Egypt. God's reaction to this lack of faith we read about in verses 11 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Fortunately, once again, Moses was man enough to intercede on behalf of the Jews, saving them from certain extinction. Our final point and passage we read of in Numbers 14, verses 21 and 22. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. God gives us his ultimate plan for this world and his promise to all mankind. 10 times the nation doubted God, and 10 times Moses stepped up to bat for the people. Fortunately for us, we have a man we will read about in our last portion of readings who makes all things possible for us. Moses' actions on behalf of Israel was a foreshadow of our Savior who died on our behalf. For the time being, I'm going to skip over our middle portion of readings. Started looking at the Proverbs and there were so many different directions to go on. I was a little overwhelmed, I might say. And I might jump right into Luke. I find it amazing that the first portion expounds to us the shortcomings of God's chosen nation and how Moses was a person who saved them from God's wrath when they sinned. This past week of our third reading portion brings us to Christ's teaching, his life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. His sacrifice allows him to intercede on our behalf that we may be saved. We have a lot to be thankful for as we remember our Savior's sacrifice that he made for us. As we meet here this morning and share this meeting online to comply with the recent pandemic conditions, we should have joy in our hearts. All people watching or listening to this exhortation should be excited and happy for a number of reasons. We are the chosen ones, and we have been given the opportunity to hear, listen, and understand the word of God and his promise to us. Even though we are pretty much housebound due to COVID, we have this modern technology of today that we can carry out this memorial service. I would much rather be where we are today than in the shoes of the children of Israel as they wandered homeless through the wilderness. The biggest benefit about our lives today is the sacrifice of Christ. We must continually be thankful and happy about what he has done for us and on our behalf. My exhortation from this platform is meant to be insightful, motivational, and meant to lift up spirits. We do have it hard in our lives today, though, especially living as Christadelphians. We have the worldly laws to live with and endure. But on top of that, we with a conscience have God's laws to follow. All of our hardships aside, we have even more to be thankful for. We have the man Christ Jesus who offered up his own life on our behalf so that we may have life. Jesus is our buffer zone, as you will, between us and God. Our Heavenly Father cannot tolerate sin, as we read about in our first portion of readings. If it wasn't for Moses pleading with God on behalf of the nation, they would have been annihilated 10 times over. And with Christ as our mediator, we should be very appreciative and happy and thankful. I would like at this time to change gears a little bit and interject a bit of graphic description from my younger days in Vernon. A little bit of visual arts, as you would. Verbal visual arts. Growing up as a Christadelphian, it seemed to me that Sunday morning was usually a serious, quiet, almost somber time. A group of baptized members meet together on the whole 3 times a week. Midweek Bible class was a semi-formal event, as it is here. The class was held in a member's basement, and the setting was almost jovial. People greeting one another, updating each other on the week's events. They mingled for about 10, 15 minutes before the class commenced. The highlight for me personally was the refreshments after the Bible study. The female members tried to outdo each other with all of their baking, and they were always accompanied by fruit juice, coffee, and tea. Sunday evening was quite similar to the midweek Bible class. The major difference was the talks were more visitor slash stranger orientated. The dress code was a little more formal, and people conducted themselves accordingly. Occasionally, the Bible lectures were accompanied with an overhead projector. Here I am dating myself. I don't know if those exist anymore. A number of years ago, they had overhead projectors, as well as the midweek Bible class. So a few of the brethren, however, would go all out with the visual aids and physical props. And at least 3 of the speakers were prone to use slides to illustrate the topic that they were expounding upon. Besides these 3 brethren, there was also my father, who would give the occasional lecture. And he seemed to have a talent for capturing and holding the younger audience's attention. And I remember sitting with my buddy, with whom I hung out at all the ecclesial functions. As youngsters, both of us were your typical short attention span children. But when my father got up for his talk, we were both riveted to the presentation for the next 40 minutes. The props were amazing. The physical demonstrations were magical, and the charts and pictures that he used to demonstrate his particular subject for the evening, they were always interesting. So my father would sometimes use props, which would be little candies, and a lot of times those were strewn through the heaven as stars, as an example, or manna, which would fall from the sky. I suppose somehow that's where I get my candy addict. So another lecture favorite he had was balloons. And at the end of all of his demonstrations, he would, of course, have enough and hand them out to those of the audience who would like, say, a couple candies or balloons to play with. So the Sunday night lecture was semi-formal. But then when we met on Sunday morning, there was a bit of a different air. Some people seemed more reserved. The dress code was more formal, and it seemed that there was just kind of a tension in the air. This mood was similar to that of a funeral. All of us gather here today, electronically assisted, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. The mood should be serious, with serious thought on what he did on our behalf. But there is another part to the memorial feast that we all partake of each week. For many years, I thought about Sunday meeting as remembering the Lord's death. Then I heard a brother say, we should also celebrate the Lord's resurrection. That shed a better light on the emblems and help keep me in more cheerful spirits when I meet each Sunday around the table of our Lord. Now, this is not to say that we should come here in a party state of mind. We should always conduct ourselves accordingly and remember that we should remain humble. We don't have to attend the meeting and feel that we have to be in a depressive state of mind. It should be for us a joyful time, away from the trials, cares, and concerns in our daily worldly life. We should be rejoicing for the gift of eternal life that our Lord Jesus has made possible for us. I believe it is a good practice to remain calm and level-headed through these trying times that are just outside that door. If we exercise our faith and lean on God's promise to us, we have very little to worry about. Quoting from Matthew 6, verse 34, it reads, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Along the same lines is another verse found in Luke 12, verse 29 to 31. Actually, there's a number of similar passages that are related, but let's focus in on the one at verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We should gratefully accept our small, insignificant trials. What really serious trials do we come across in our first world life today? Do we become agitated when somebody cuts us off as we're driving down the road? Do we get worked up and upset at them for their actions? Do we panic that we will run out of food in our pantry? Do we worry about paying our mortgage because work has slowed down? We need to be thankful and rejoice and take comfort in the fact that God has a plan for this world and everything that happens. He is in control. So now as we look towards this memorial feast, let us be humble in spirit, but at the same time, rejoice, for Christ has offered his perfect human life up on our behalf.